Well, this last week, Mary had a doctor's appointment required by the state, and she came out with the fact that we were told that she's lost weight, and she has actually shrank. And we were thinking, this is a little bit strange. Now, we know it's possible for kids to lose a little bit of weight here and there, but to shrink? Especially at age 2.5. So sure enough, they said, well, we're going to have to refer this to your pediatrician. And a few days later, we get a call. The pediatrician wants to see Mary and see what's going on with her. So Karen brings her in for the appointment, and there was some concern there on their parts that we need to get this checked out. We want to see that the child is growing, that Mary's growing the way that she is supposed to grow. And it turns out there wasn't anything wrong. I think they had actually, the previous appointment, just written down the wrong measurements. So she's actually not shrinking. She is a small little girl. But everything seems to be healthy. So we're thankful for that. We want to see her growing. We desire growth. You desire growth. You want to see your own children grow, not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally. We want to see crops grow when the spring comes. Just yesterday, I was looking at a little plant that someone had planted. They put the seed in. The boy was asking, well, where's the seed? He had planted it, I think, the night before. Well, it's got to grow. It's going to take some time. So we're looking for that growth. Some of you are looking for your stocks to grow, right? Your bank accounts to grow, even though interest is very small, typically today. But what about looking for spiritual growth? Do we look for spiritual growth the way that we look for all these other types of growth? What about growth in knowing God? Do I know God more today than I did last year? You say, well, maybe once upon a time I was excited about my faith, but it's kind of worn off. The excitement's worn off. It's faded a bit. Sometimes we get bored. This is just everyday life now, and the growth slows down, doesn't it? We begin to listen to other ways without discerning what is really happening. And Paul is concerned that this is happening in the Colossians church here. That there's the danger, there's these false teachers that were prevalent there. Paul's not there. Epaphras is there, but these false teachers are powerful. And they are swaying the people, or there's the danger of it anyway. And so Paul is praying for them that this would not happen. We see his pastoral heart. He's never even met them, but he's praying for them that they would continue to grow. And what he's saying here is it is essential to continue growing in our faith, who God is, and how we are to live as his people. So in thinking about this, what does this growth look like? Well, there's four different things to point out this morning. The first, and I'm going to kind of begin backwards here, because I do think it's important. Look at verse 13 and 14 first, and then back up to verse 9, because the first thing we're going to look at is the ground of growth, the foundation that all growth is built upon. Verse 13 and 14. This is the reality of it. It begins here. Listen to these verses. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There would be no growth without this truth. Look at how that verse begins. It begins with the word he. It is not ours to do. It is his to do. He has delivered. The picture here is rescue. He's rescued us. From what? Well, from the dominion or domain, the rule. It means the rule of darkness. And there's the sense here is deep darkness. Now, we know as we sit here this morning, there is actually things that we can't see. There are realities around us that we are not aware of all the time. Well, we look outside, we see the snow, we just heard the snow plow go by. Well, there's a reality, right? The snow's piling up. But what about a spiritual reality? That we are battling against spiritual forces of evil, as Ephesians 6 says, rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What it's talking about here is there is another kingdom, a kingdom of darkness, a kingdom of evil, where we were once held captive. Ruled by evil, serving idols, bowing down, bound to disobedience. And now he has transferred us to the kingdom or the reign or the rule of his son Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Look at verse 14. It says, in whom, the person of Jesus, in whom we have redemption. In the ancient world, the term redemption meant to purchase from the slave market, as one source said. Think about that. Purchase from the slave market. So you're buying someone who is enslaved from their slavery. Christ has done that for us. He has freed us from our slavery to sin, freed us from the power of darkness. And not only that, not only redeemed us, but forgiven us for all of our debt. A year or so ago, you remember hearing the story about a captain of a ship who was taken hostage by the Somali pirates. Remember Captain Richard Phillips, who grew up in Underhill, Vermont, or who lives in Underhill anyway? He was captured by these pirates and taken to the lifeboat. Remember, we saw pictures of that lifeboat floating on the sea. What's going to happen? He needed to be what? Rescued, didn't he? And so they tried to bring a search and rescue mission up, and what happened was, if you remember, some people don't know this part of the story, but he actually was sitting on that lifeboat. There were three pirates there with him, with guns, and while one or two of them were having an argument or not looking, he actually jumped off the boat. And he started to swim toward the Navy vessel who was, I don't know, it wasn't too far away, but it was a long way to swim still. And of course, the pirates heard that he had jumped off, they heard the splash, and they started shooting into the water. And he realized, I'm never going to make it. So he returned to the boat, and when he returned, they bound his hands with those with something like the some kind of twisty tie wraps, thank you. Not twisty ties. He would have been able to break out of those, wouldn't he? But the point is that he could not rescue himself. He tried to escape, and he couldn't do it. And many of you may try to escape from sin or bondage that you're in, and you can't do it. You need to be rescued by him. And what happened with Captain Phillips? Well, you know the end of the story. There were the sharpshooters on the end of the naval ship, and all three at once took shots. Two of the pirates were killed. Another third was taken into custody, and he was just sentenced a few weeks ago to 30 or so years in prison. Well, we cannot rescue ourselves, but we need a divine rescue mission. That's what this is. God sent his son Jesus in a divine rescue mission to rescue us from the dominion of darkness. Notice there's either the dominion of darkness or there's the kingdom of his beloved son. There's no other place to be. So that means we are either in darkness or we are in light. We are either bound over to one or the other. For some of you, this was a dramatic rescue. You know the exact time, the hour of the day when God intervened in your life and pulled you out, rescued you from darkness, from sin. Others of you, you learned it slowly, but it was still something done for you. Rescue. Number two. So number one, the ground of growth. is that he has rescued and delivered us and transferred us into his kingdom. Number two, the progress of growth. Look at verses 9 and 10. You're going to see a progression here. These are, look for the action words. If you ever read a passage of scripture and you're like, how can I get anything out of this? Look for the verbs or the action words. What is happening here? Where is the movement? So look at verse 9. From the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. So Paul is praying. What is he praying? Here is what he's asking. That you may be, here it is, filled. Action word. You may be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Let's just stop right there for a minute. He is praying that they will be filled with the knowledge of who God is. Now, this isn't just a knowledge up here where you can recite all kinds of facts about God. There is wisdom and understanding too, isn't there? It's not just a head knowledge. Head knowledge can't save you. I've heard of stories of people who know more about the Bible than probably all of us in this room, and yet they don't believe. There's no understanding with that. So here it's an understanding of who God is, and as one commentator says, it's not just who God is, but understanding his purpose of salvation throughout history. Ephesians 1 says, he has lavished riches of his grace upon us in all wisdom and insight. One thing that I found in looking at different passages that were talking about spiritual wisdom, you might find this interesting, that in those passages that were talking about wisdom, right after that, the very next phrase was talking about time, or making the most of every opportunity, or how you are wise in dealing with outsiders. I think what's happening here is Paul is pointing to the false teachers. You and I need to be careful. How much time do we spend with false teachers? We need to be careful. There's wisdom there. How much time do we spend with outsiders and talking about all these different philosophies and things that the Colossians were hearing, angel worship, spiritual mysticism, all these things? Because after a while, if you're around that for a long period of time and not gaining the wisdom of God, you start to question, is there anything to that? That's interesting. Let's study that some more. Without the wisdom of God, that can be dangerous. So Paul is saying, be careful how you spend your time. Well, we have the first word here, filled with the knowledge of his will. And then verse 10, so as to walk, another action word, in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. If you are filled with wisdom, then you are able to walk. The word walk here in the Greek actually means live. That's how it's translated, to live. Live in a manner. Some of your translations might actually say that. And to live goes all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. Deuteronomy talks about walking in the ways of the Lord. It means to be obedient to how he has commanded, obeying his commands, following his statutes. Ephesians 4, if we want to get particular, talks about walking with humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. This is how you are to walk. Remember the first greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second one like it, love your neighbor as yourself, following him, living in this way. Look at the third action word here. In verse 10, bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit here. If you are filled with the knowledge, that will enable you to walk or to live in the way that God has called you. And if you're living in the way that he has called you, there's another progression that you are bearing fruit. Think of that. When you plant a seed in the ground, if you're watering it, if it gets sunshine, it's receiving wisdom and knowledge. To create the picture, then it begins to grow, it begins to live, to walk, and then it begins to bear fruit, doesn't it? It continues. This is consistent walking and living. Ephesians 5, being filled with the Spirit. And then the last word in verse 10, and what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. Do you see, we've come full circle. The first thing that he prayed, that you be filled with the knowledge of God. So filled to walk or live, to bear fruit, and then increase back to the knowledge of God. And then it happens all over again. It's like the continual upward spiral of growth, the progress of growth here. Number three, the power for growth is verse 11. You might be saying, well, that's a lot to expect. We can pray for the wisdom and knowledge of God, but what if I don't receive it? What if I make bad choices? I cannot do this on my own strength. Growing is hard. It's hard to be a farmer. It's hard to be patient, to deal with the crops and the droughts and the insects and all these things that come to threaten growth. Same is true in your life and in mine. So Paul says here, may you be strengthened with all power according to your might? No, according to his glorious might. This is the power for growth. Remember, Paul says, Apollos planted, I watered, but God made it grow. Speaking of the gospel in our own lives, we grow with his power. It's his power that does it. We just read earlier in Ephesians that God would grant us to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner being so that Christ can dwell in our hearts through faith. Do you know Christ can't dwell in your heart through faith without God's power? It's impossible. You must have the power. Well, how strong is this power, really? You could be thinking, because we have some pretty tough times of growth. How strong is this power? Listen to this. It is the same power, Ephesians says, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Death-raising power is at work in you, in your life. That same power that not only raised him from the dead, but seated him at the right hand of God. And now he is above all rulers. Well, what does the strength enable you to do? It enables you to do something that you desperately need to do, and that's endure and to be patient. Because a lot of you sitting in here, including myself, you've gone through some very difficult things, whether it be in your Christian life or in your life in general, some very painful things. Some of you are going through them where it is hard to grow in the Lord. It is hard to grow in faith. One person writes, growth in the knowledge of God and in holiness is an uphill battle. You might feel like you're pushing a rock uphill and it's about to come down and crush you. But Paul says here, the reason God is strengthening you with his power is so that you can endure. So that you can last through the pain, through the difficulty. And it's not just endurance. Endurance and patience aren't the same things. But he's also strengthening you so that you can be patient because it takes a long time to grow. It doesn't just happen overnight. Oh, that was nice. I'm a big, tall sunflower now. And sunflowers do grow fast. And now I have it all down. No, growth is slow. One person says the vine dresser takes his time coming through and pruning. Hurts to have your arm cut off or a sin in your life cut off or exposed. Just this last week I was in the office and I have a plant that Eva gave me. And it's called the crown of thorns and it has spikes, thorns. All around it, so you don't really want to grab it. But there are a couple shoots that came out that had died, and I thought, well, I need to cut them off now. I'm not the best caretaker of plants. So I grabbed it, and I'm here trying to cut it off, and it's not, the scissors aren't going through very well. And finally, I get it cut, and I had all these thorns, or pieces of them, in my thumb, trying to brush them off. that's a picture of what God is doing with us. He's cutting off dead branches, cutting off dead so that we can bear fruit. And that's painful sometimes. We need to be patient, but we can only be patient with the power of God. Because you know what our tendency is to give up. Let's just throw the whole plant away and start over. God doesn't do that. He prunes us so that we can have lasting fruit. And here is the key. Listen to this. It is with joy. The end of verse 11, with joy. And now we're really struggling, right? Because the trials that we go through and the hardships, they are not joyful. But yet, with God's power and with being strengthened by Him, we can be joyful. We're tempted to frustration. We're tempted to grumbling. Is it worth it? Even tempted to despair, feeling despair. But here, the joy of the Lord that is our strength. What is this joy? How can you have joy in the midst of these difficult times? The joy is anchored in verse 13 and 14, that God has rescued you. Yes, your life might be very difficult right now, but this is not the end. There's more to come. There's the kingdom of His beloved Son. There's forgiveness of your sins. And so no matter what trial you're going through, there is still something to be joyful about. Praise God for that. For without that, I don't know where we would be. Thank you, God, that my sins have been forgiven. Thank you that you love me. My family has forsaken me, let's say. Thank you, God, that you never leave me. Right? Thank you that you're always faithful when the boss at work tears me up and down. Thank you, Lord, that you do not do that, that I can trust in you. So we focus on God and what He has done. And finally, point number 4, the goal of growth. What is the point of all this anyway? You could be sitting here and saying, so what? And here's the answer, verse 12. It is the glory of God. The goal of growth is for the glory of God. We see that in giving thanks to the Father. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always and for everything. So the glory of God, but it's further than that, incorporated in the glory of God is for us eternal life. Look at the end of verse 12. Who the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you hear that word, inheritance? You know that goes all the way back to the Old Testament when God is telling His people, when He's telling Abram, look around at all the land, you will inherit this. I will give this to you as a possession. So they're inheriting the land. That was a promise of the covenant. But now the promise is deeper. It's not just a physical land. It's inheritance of heaven. Being in His presence. That's where the light part comes in, as one says. Think about it this way as well. What does He say right after that? Inheritance of the saints and light. He has delivered you. Do you know what the Jews would be thinking? They would be thinking about Egypt. God has delivered us out of this realm of darkness, this rule of Pharaoh, who's oppressing us, who's enslaving us. And He has delivered us out of this and transferred us into the promised land. Even though we wandered through the desert for 40 years, right? Hardships, hard growing, patience, endurance. A great picture of what God has done with His people in the Old Testament. Just a foreshadowing of what Jesus has done in your life and in mine. The Bible is full of that. And that is part of growing in His knowledge. So maybe this morning you didn't realize that the deliverance from darkness even referred had anything to do with Egypt. Well, guess what? You just grew in the knowledge of God. Praise God for that. And there's so much more. Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. His paths are unsearchable, beyond tracing out. So I have two questions for you this morning. The first one is, have you been rescued? Have you been rescued from this darkness? Have you been rescued from the bondage of sin? Because if you have not, today is the day of salvation. Admitting your need for the Lord and receiving His grace and forgiveness and redemption. And second question, if you have been rescued from the dominion of darkness, are you continuing to grow? Some of you this morning, you would say to me, you know, I feel like I'm at a standstill. I feel like I'm at a standstill. What I would suggest then is revisit verse 13 and 14. What are you rescued from? Think back. Remember. Dwell on His grace that He has given His Son to redeem you. This is your identity now. You have been freed from sin. And guess what comes with sin? Curse and guilt and shame. You've been freed from that. So that's not weighing over you anymore. And you can trust in Him, that He will continue to forgive your sins, that He has redeemed you for eternity. Another thing that I would suggest is, what is this that we just read? It's the Word of God, you would say. Yes, but what do we see here? This is a prayer. This is appropriate to pray in your own life. This last week, I tried something a little different for you. What I did is I took some of this prayer and I prayed it for all of you. Tried to go each person individually, praying that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will, that you would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, that you would endure, that God would give you His power. You can pray this for yourself as well. You can ask others to pray it for you. Do you know prayer is a means of grace? Do you know what that means? When you pray, it's a way that God demonstrates His grace in your life and in the lives of others. That's real. We talk about the Lord's Supper here as a means of grace as well. That we receive grace through the Holy Spirit. The reading the Word is also a means of grace. These are powerful realities in your life that God has given for you to grow. So let us make use of them by His power, because you can't do it by yourself. May He strengthen us as He has delivered us and rescued us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercy to us. We thank You for Your wisdom. We thank You that You have all knowledge, and we will never know everything that You know, but we desire that we would grow in it, that we would be strengthened, that we would walk in a way that's pleasing to You, that we would delight in You for Your glory and for our salvation. We thank You for Your mercy to us, that You help us to endure when it's hard, that You help us to be patient when we want it to happen right away. So, Lord, we ask that You would continue to work in our lives by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.